You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Scripture reading this morning is going to be in Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter 25, verses 13 through 21. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2, other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of these servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said to him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading of his holy word. And this for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this Sunday morning. We thank you for the blessedness of seeing your creation round about us. And we thank you for the joy it gives us as our thoughts turn to you and how mighty you are and how wonderful you are. And that you have given us this environment, that you have blessed us with this country, and that you have placed us here. We pray for believers all over the world this morning. We pray that they have joy in their hearts as they worship you. We thank you, Father, for the study. We thank you for the challenge to be faithful men and women in Christ. We pray, Lord, now that as we learn the things of Christ, that your Spirit be the teacher. We pray that you hedge us about. And these things we ask in Christ Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Okay. Is that clock right?
I'm done.
Oh. The atomic clock is way off. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As you'll recall in our passage in Matthew 25, the Lord, the good man who left, said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Faithfulness is so intrinsic to this relationship we have with God. And we looked a little bit about that last week. We see here that faith is not blind. Faith is not hollow. Faith is substance. Faith is substance, and faith is evidence. You know what evidence is? Something you make a decision on. It's something that you hear in order to rightly judge. It is evidence, and it's evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it says in verse 6 of chapter 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, last week we looked in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we looked at Paul talking to those folks in Corinth about the problems that they had, and that all the problems can be solved with this one little thing, and that is start building. And build as a wise master builder, even as Paul was a wise master builder. He said, take heed though. Take heed. Turn over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at that again, because he gave us a warning. He told us the work, and he explained our wealth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we begin in verse 10. Yeah, let me kind of draw you. Come back with me here. Come back up here. Look at me just a minute. Let me kind of draw us together in light of what we're looking at. God has called us into fellowship with His Son. That's so much of Christianity is due. And we're supposed to do. We looked at that last time when we talked. Paul in Philippians, he says, the same things that you've learned and heard and received and seen in me, do those. And there are things we're supposed to do. Christianity today is not much different in mainstream of the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the day of our Lord. When he said, all they want you to do is do, 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 do. They don't do as they even tell you to do, but they want you to do, 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 and end up doing the things that they tell you to do that are not really in line with the Lord. You're learning the doctrines of men. You're learning the teachings of men. And there's a million things they could have you do. And churches are well known for getting people involved, not just on Sunday, but on Wednesday, and then maybe Monday, and maybe Tuesday, and maybe Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. And there's all kinds of programs that they can get you involved in doing. And I'm not opposed to that, as long as you've done the first thing, and that is be in fellowship with His Son. Now, once you're in that fellowship, once you're closely walking with Him, you won't have any problems in discerning between or judging between what you should be doing. The thing that you learn, heard, received, and seen in me, Paul says, do. Or as he writes to Timothy, he says, the same things that you've heard in me, commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Faithful men who will be able to teach others also. There seems to be a focus here, from Paul's point of view, on certain things. And it's not do, 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 do. It's be. It's be in fellowship with His Son. They'll mislead you sometimes, and because they will get you to start thinking about your walk will be reflected in the work that you do. I heard one use the story. He said, "Ask a little girl what kind of people there were in the church." She said, "Two kinds of people." She said, "There's a guy up there at the podium who gets paid for being good, and then there are the folks in the pews who are good for nothing." And then they'll go on and say, "Now I want you to start being good for something." And so you're eagerly inspired to want to be good for something instead of being good for nothing. I think I want to be good for nothing. I'm not looking to get paid for what I do. I do it to serve who? Who do you do it for? And that's, we're looking at the fact that when we have that right relationship with God, then we're looking forward not to the blessing that comes here and now, but the reward that He has. Now, our faithfulness to that is the key. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, we're not talking about salvation. He who comes to God must first believe that He is. Now, that's salvation. Sin, death, and condemnation has all been taken care of in Christ Jesus and His shed blood. That's something you and I have nothing to do with. We can't do it. All we can do is recognize the wretchedness of us, the wretchedness of our soul and our life apart from Him. I cannot save myself. I certainly can't save anyone else. And I've never known anyone who could save somebody eternally. It's all in Christ. Now, God in our walk has cautioned us to walk worthy of that calling, because in the worthy walk, He has in store for us rewards. And that comes, the worthy walk comes from being faithful. Being faithful to that which He's called us to. That's kind of where we're heading with all of this. I felt last week, besides the fact that there are a couple of verses I didn't get to focus in on, I didn't know if I had really conveyed the soberness of what I was trying to convey last week. Okay, there in verse 10, 1 Corinthians, you're with me, there is a heed. Take heed. There's a warning. He says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another builds on it. But let every man take heed how he build upon it. And we looked at the fact that there are two master builders. Paul was one, Peter the other. And Paul has given us our responsibility. He's the minister. He's the apostle. He's the preacher of the Gentiles. And that's who we follow. Oh, wait, you're supposed to follow Jesus. Okay, now here comes the contention. Well, Paul is following Jesus, so if we're following Paul, we're not going to miss the mark. Now, I don't mean to get into hair splitting there, but Paul is the prisoner of Jesus Christ for us Gentiles. He's the one God has delivered our instructions to. And that's who we put our emphasis on. Not Peter, not James, not John, not the Gospels, not the Old Testament. It's the prison epistles. Now, the other stuff is written for our admonition. And it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all Scripture is given to us for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. So we're not ignoring that either. But what God has given to us is what our focus is on. And that's where He's called us to be faithful to. He's called us to be faithful to that. We need to take heed how we build on that. That's the warning. The work, verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, oh, that foundation's Christ, verse 11. No, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is in Christ Jesus. Now if a man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, and I really don't think there's a difference. You know, I don't think wood, hay, and stubble is inferior and not to be, you know, worked on. If you're a vessel that God's made out of wood, hay, and stubble, you be ready for the Master's use. If He's made you out of gold, silver, and precious stones, you be ready for the Master's use. So your work, then, in verse 13, shall be manifest. Now, this work is the other thing I tried to get across last week, and that is that even though God's dealing with us in grace today, in this week, even though God and this year and our life and in this dispensation, that's really the word I want to use, under the administration of God, He's dealing in grace, that doesn't mean there won't be a day that there's not a time of judgment. We will all appear before the Bema seat, the judgment seat. And that's one of the passages. Let's go look at that. That's over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I really meant for us to look at this last week. I assumed because you all are so such good Bible students that you knew what I was talking about, and when I mentioned that, and no one had any question about it, but I felt like we needed to go look at it. And I passed that up last week, and I should not have. Look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. That's the judgment seat. That's not the throne judgment. Don't want to appear before the throne judgment. And you won't have to. That's already been taken care of in Christ. But the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, we will all appear before and give an accounting for the work that we've done in the flesh, good or bad. Now here in Northside, we take seriously 2 Timothy 2:15. It's right here on the front. And I want you to think it with me for a moment. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not be ashamed. When's that shame going to come about? At the Bema Seat. At the Judgment Seat. Well, wait a minute. I thought once we got to heaven, there's no crying and no tears. You know, He'll wipe away every tear. That's not here. That's not what He's talking about. That's in eternity. If you look at that in Revelation, let's go over there. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Chapter 21. And notice the context. Notice the context and keep this in its context. Many people don't. Verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Why do they have tears? New heaven, new earth. Everything's been redone. Shouldn't be any more tears. It's all done. No. That Bema Seat. That Bema Seat. Is there sorrow? Well, I'm going to say there's shame. There's shame. When you haven't rightly handled, if you haven't been a good master builder, if you look at the context of these things, this is an eternity. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any pain for the former things. The former things are passed away. That's eternity. Come back to Matthew now with me, and let's look at this. Just kind of laying some groundwork there. Matthew 25. We know this commonly as the parable of the talents. There's three things I think that we kind of focus on here. One is the man who traveled into a far country, verse 14. Those who he called his servants, verse 14. And that which he has delivered unto them, his goods, there in verse 14. Now this is conditioned with verse 13, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man cometh. You don't know what day that is that you're going to appear before that judgment seat. Now this is true throughout all administrations of God. This is in the context of the kingdom. But whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. And that's what God's talking about. It's not just in the context of the kingdom. It's also in the context of the prison epistles. Paul writes about this in Ephesians. He writes about it in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. We looked at it last week. And Ephesians chapter 6. We looked at it last week. That judgment does come because He is a righteous God. He is, as Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the good judge. We looked at that last week. All of us need to take heed to this admonishment to watch, because there are some things, even though I know we know a lot here at Northside, we do take a little bit of pride in the fact that we're ready to take people on when it comes to the Word. But we don't know everything. Watch therefore. See, that's one thing we don't know. We don't know when he's coming. We don't know when that time will be. I think for us, as we understand Scripture, we know the time is getting close when Elijah returns. We haven't seen that. Verse 14 tells us we've got three things we're looking at. The good man, or the man traveling into a far country, the servant, and the goods delivered unto him. Verse 15, he gave 5 talents to one, 2 to another, and 1 to another, and to every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, talent's not that's not a puny thing. I know a lot of times we look at it like it's some kind of ability. That's not an ability. It doesn't have to be just an ability. It could be an ability. It's not just money, even though the context is money, and talent's a lot of money. Talent was 6,000 denarii. You know, a denarii, it's one day's wages. Let's see, if you made $30,000 a year, that's barely above poverty, isn't it? Close to it. $25,000, $30,000 a year. That'd be close to 300 denarii. 20 years would be 6,000 denarii. 20 times 30, that's over, $500,000, $600,000? That's one. He gave to this one guy 5. That's $3 million in our money. Boy, you know, that's kind of, if I could just hit the lottery, there'd be my 5 talents. I'd take good care of it. I'd probably make 3 more or 5 more talents. 3 more million dollars. No, I'd probably go spend it. I couldn't help it. Just, you know, you think about it. That's a lot of money. 5 talents. And he gave 2 talents to another. And just won 1 talent. That's a lot of money then. That's $600,000. If my math is right, it's a lot of money. It's not something that's just a little bit. It's a tremendous responsibility. But every man according to his ability. Well, we saw what happened. The guy with 5 and the guy with 2. These servants doubled their money. The servant with 1, he took his Lord's money, verse 18. Dug a hole in the ground and buried it. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. There is that reckoning. Today, God is dealing with you in grace. But tomorrow, He'll be dealing with you in judgment. Not regarding sin and death and condemnation. But in regarding faithfulness. Work. And commendation. Paul said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. And now there's laid up for me the just judge, a crown of righteousness. Well, we see two of these fellows were faithful, and he says of the same, verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I like that. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Didn't seem like a few a minute ago, did it? Whose perspective are you looking at? I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now, God has promised that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We saw that in Hebrews chapter 11. We don't want to have the condemnation that we find in verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, this is the servant who had the 1 talent. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not spread. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him who hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. Now what is this, him who hath not shall be taken away what he has? Well, we should be familiar with this. I know you guys are. In Matthew chapter 13, dealing with the mysteries, go over there, of the kingdom. The parable of the soil, or as commonly known, the parable of the sower. We've got 4 soils. But notice that in verse 11 of chapter 13 of Matthew, Jesus answered and said unto the disciples, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even what he has. Familiar phrase, isn't it? What is it that they have? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'll give you a picture of a fellow who's not faithful. You familiar with Elisha? Go over to 2 Kings. He had a servant. Name was Gehazi. 2 Kings chapter, I think it's 5 or 4. But you remember the story about Naaman, the Syrian who had leprosy? Chapter 5. Naaman the Syrian had leprosy and he was healed. In verse 15, Naaman returned to the man of God. Remember, he dipped himself 7 times in the water, and when he came out, he was healed from his leprosy. And when he returned to the man of God, that's Elisha, and he and all his company, and came and he stood before him, and he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. That's Elisha. He urged him to take it, that's Naaman, but he, Elisha, refused. And Naaman said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules, burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing." And he said unto him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master has spared Naaman, the Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he alighted from the chariot to meet him. And he said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me." Ooh. Mistake number one. "My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men, sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments." And Naaman said, "Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged them and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bore them before him. And when he," this is Gehazi, "came to the tower, he took them from their hand, bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, From where comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went not here or there." Well, one lie leads to another, doesn't it? "And he said unto him, Went not my heart with thee when the man turned from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cling unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Not a very faithful servant. Not a good servant at all. And certainly not a faithful servant. Come on over to Ephesians chapter 1. God's given to us a responsibility, and I want you to be serious about it. I felt last week that I hadn't really done a good job of conveying that aspect of what was being taught. I think I encouraged you to be sensitive to the fact that God has certain ordained good works that He's marked off, that He wants you to walk. That's our memory verse for last month. You're His workmanship. You're His creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not wicked works which you once walked in, not dead works which would be another master builder's effort, but good works which He before ordained you should walk in. Now the problem you have, and I have, is we have this attitude of do when we start talking about work. That's my do. That's your do. God's got His already marked off for you to do. The only thing you have to do is to be in fellowship with Him. That's brought out so clearly here in chapter 1, verse 1 of Ephesians. It's written to who? He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to saints who are at Ephesus. Now see, sanctification is something you have nothing to do with. God does that. That's the finished work in Christ. Sin and death have no more power over you. There's no more condemnation. That's done. But the next thing is, not just to saints, but he says, and faithful. Not all the people in Ephesus fit that, I'm sure. Just like today, not all the people fit that address on the envelope. Not just to the saints, but to the saints and the faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to what God has called you to. Faithful to what God has called you to. Now, I'm not going to meddle. I don't know what it is. I mean, you can find it in this book. I mean, if you want, let's just go quickly over to Titus. Let's look at a couple of things. Chapter 2, Titus. He says, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Chapter 2, verse 2. If you're an old man, be sober-minded. Be grave. Be temperate. Be sound in the faith and in love and in patience. If you're an older woman, likewise. In your behavior, become as holiness. Not false accusers. Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things. Okay, I'll just stop there. When you're in fellowship with Him, these are the things you learn. These are the things that His Spirit will test you on. He will challenge you on this. This is what He's called you to do. Oh, I want to go do this. I want to do this. Or I want to do that. I want to do that. We could build this up. We could build that up. Do. That's what you want to do. God has this all laid out. Here's the challenge. Come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll end with this. And this is the second verse that I've made mention last week, but we didn't turn to it, and I want to look at it just to challenge you. Verse 58, Paul talking to these Corinthians and talking to them about what a great reward they have before them in the twinkling of an eye. Just boom, changed. But take heed. That's what therefore means. Verse 58, therefore, in light of what we just talked about in this 15th chapter, the resurrection chapter, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, that's now, unmovable, that's now, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that's now, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not going to be in vain. Not going to be in vain. What are you laboring for? What are you working for? To do, or to be. You got to think soberly about this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing of the word as it challenges us quicker and sharper and powerful than any two-edged sword that divide asunder these things that we need to be separated from, Father. Sometimes our soul and spirit kind of want to lead us one way, but it's thus saith the Lord. It's what you have to say in our life, and we need to be in fellowship with you, what you want us to do. We thank you as you attend to that need in each heart here today, and we pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.